Proverbs chapter 16. When you find your place, if you're able to, we'll stand for the reading of God's word. Give me 1 minute here. I somehow came away without my Bible. I'm going to need that. Okay, 1 second here. Okay, Proverbs chapter 16. We're picking up verse 29. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you and we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this portion of Scripture. Lord, we pray that we would not be enticed by the violent person, that we would not be led into the way that is not good, into the froward path, the path that moves away from you, where sin abounds. Lord, keep us in the midst of the right friends, the right influences. Lord, we pray that you would keep us safe and help us, those of us that are parents, to teach our children how to keep them safe, themselves safe. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we're picking up here in verse 29. Verse 29. Give me 1 second. Technical issues this morning. Please stand by. Okay, here we go. The violent man enticeth his neighbor. As I was thinking and meditating on this passage, I was thinking, what does the violent man mean? Because to our minds, that word violent, quite often, you're thinking of maybe a bank robber or someone that commits heinous crimes. But from what I can see, the definition goes broader than that. The Strong's dictionary, or the Strong's concordance, defines it violence, by implication, wrong. Unjust gain, cruel, damage, false, injustice, oppressor, unrighteous. It's much broader than that. See, notice, unjust gain, cruelty, injustice, unrighteousness, wrong. When we think about that, we realize that it goes much deeper than just that bank robber figure in our mind. Thank you. Okay, thank you. And I mention that because so often in our life we might say, well, it's not an issue. I don't hang out with bank robbers. It's really not it's nothing for me to be concerned about. But when we see unjust gain, cruelty, injustice, unrighteousness, it's much broader. We have to be so careful about the type of people we hang around, the type of people we socialize with. That word enticed, it means incited, instigated to evil, seduced by promises or persuasions, persuaded, allured. So incited, seduced. We know the word seduced, it means where somebody has the ability to get us to do something that we ought not to do. Same with the word enticed. I mean, we pretty much know what that word means. Where we are encouraged to do something we ought not. Now that, we might be enticed for a multitude of different reasons. Maybe a person is enticed because they like it, just in the same way that Eve was enticed in the garden when she saw the forbidden fruit. And she said, oh, that does look good. Oh, and it will make me wise, as the serpent has told me. She was enticed. But maybe sometimes we're enticed out of peer pressure. different reasons, where we feel like we have to. We feel like we're caught in a web and we've of sin, and we have to keep up the charade or keep up with doing this particular action because it's what's expected of us. Fear. I see that often in young people as well, children, young people, where they are quite often, maybe they're not yet, they have not yet developed a courage to stand for the truth, and they are fearful about what others will think of them. And so as parents, we have to work on their confidence, that they will be confident in the Word of God and know what's right and do what's right, and that they will not be enticed. Leading him into the way that is not good is the next phrase of that verse. We're talking about a way that's ungodly, a way that's unrighteous, a way that is destructive. That's something that people have to remember, is that God purposely lays out a path for us, the way of righteousness. And if we stray off it's going to lead us to destruction. It's going to lead to misery. And so God knows that. It's like, you know, a path that you might be climbing on a mountain, and a person thinks, well, I'm going to take this other path. But the other path is dangerous. Other path might lead to loss of life, to injury. People frequently do that. Think about those that enjoy extreme skiing or snowmobiling, and they take these other routes. They think, oh, that'll be great. And yet it leads to their destruction. Let's take a look at a couple of passages here. You can take a look at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Actually, even before you get there, Proverbs chapter 1. Good, I left my Bible at the house there. Mom went to get it and found we had an element on the stove. So, with a pot on it. Oh, okay, good. Let's see. Good. The Lord was in that, I guess. Okay, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with the spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. He's telling his son, if these people try to entice you to lay wait for blood, to injure others, he says, stay away from them. And of course, before it gets to that place, there'll be much more subtle ways of enticing, ways that don't really seem that big a deal, where maybe there is, you know, there's some sin involved, but it doesn't appear like it's going to hurt anybody, or if it is going to hurt someone, well, they really wouldn't miss that item in their yard or whatever. They're rich enough that it won't really hurt them. But here Solomon says, don't. If they entice you, don't do it. In the next chapter, let's take a look at chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. Let's read actually verses 11 through 15. Discretion shall preserve thee. We talked about discretion recently. Prudence. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. Their ways are crooked. I guess I should someday do a bit of a deeper study on that word, crooked. But when you think about it, I mean, there is, we talk about someone who is a crooked business person, and we understand that to mean that they're unethical, they break the law, they're dishonest, they're fraudulent. But also, when you think about crooked, as just in the word itself, their path is crooked. You know, you can't see around the bend. You can't see, where is this going to lead me? But whereas the way of the righteousness, it's hemmed in, it's straight, and it's narrow. But the one thing about it is we can see the end point. We can see where it's going. The big picture. The smaller picture is that of where we're looking for God's leading. And sometimes God only gives us a certain distance where he only reveals a small amount to us, a little bit at a time. But their ways are crooked. So he says, discretion shall preserve thee. And that's where each one of us needs to seek to have discretion, to seek prudence, where we foresee the evil and abstain from it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31, the next chapter. Envy not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Choose none of his ways. When we see someone who's ungodly, we should basically catalog their ways and then say, okay, I do not want to, I'm not going to choose any of his or her ways. I'm going to abstain from that path. Let's take a look now in the New Testament. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 13 through 18. 2 Peter 3, 13 through 18. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, brethren, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord it is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, also according to his wisdom, given unto him hath written unto you, as also in his epistles, speaking in them these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Notice the direction of their way, destruction. Ye therefore, brethren, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory for now and forever. Notice there a number of things. We're supposed to be without spot, blameless. We're not to rest the scriptures like these other people do, and they do it to their own destruction. And he warns us, verse 17, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So lessons from these passages. Well, lessons to everyone is that each one of us must be careful about the type of people we socialize with. You know, we can certainly connect with unbelievers and should connect with them with the goal of witnessing to them. But we have to be so careful about the environment that we do it in. We've got to be very careful about things like social environments. And really, it should be in a neutral sort of an environment where it might be, you know, at the park. It might be at Superstore. It might be for a one-on-one at Tim Hortons, where we're not, when we socialize, then we start to break down barriers, and we are more likely to be drugged down than for us to lift them up. Also, for a lesson to those that are struggling, those that maybe have come from a difficult, a sinful past, It is very important for them. Maybe they're still in the middle of making a recovery. I've seen it so many times where, you know, whether it be in the prison ministry or others, people are getting over addictions, and they're doing well, and they've got friends, and they think, oh, I really want to lift this person up and bring them to show them what I've learned. And so they allow that person back into their life, and the next thing you know, they're being drugged down. It's best, and I've had some pretty straight conversations with people before that have been struggling with addictions and who have really made some inroads in trying to follow the Lord. Or maybe they're not yet saved. Maybe they're just trying to do it in their own steam, in their own power, which of course will not get them very far. But I've advised them, you've got to cut some of your friendships, a great many of them. You've got to tell them you love them, you care for them, but this is destructive for both of you. And to point them to solid Christians that can help them. Also, parents. Parents have to be careful about the children, the young people that their children connect with. For instance, one example is sleepovers. I do not recommend sleepovers. Even with children or youth that the parent trusts. You know, children have inquisitive minds and will often start talking about things that they ought not to do. Another area we have to be careful in, and I want to be careful to make it clear that I'm not saying that these are wrong, not by any stretch. I'm just saying we have to be careful. And that is Christian camps. You know, Christian camps are set up on the premise that we're trying to reach the lost, we're trying to teach the believers. But it's very often the case where many will make powerful decisions for God that they will carry forth the rest of their life. Sometimes they make emotional decisions that don't go very far. But it can be a place where the unsaved and carnal Christians, youth, mix. Under the right circumstances, godly youth can have quite a positive impact on the unsaved or carnal Christians. Think of Pastor Olin from Okanagan Valley Baptist Church. How years ago he led a young man to Christ. What's his name again? I'm drawing a blank. The pastor now.
Ryan King.
Yes, Ryan King. He led Ryan King to the Lord. And this was after we had already left Montrose, and you know, I went back there and I saw Ryan, probably 15, 16 years old, and he looked like a rebellious teenager, and I just didn't. He won't last long, and he'll probably drag someone else down with him. But Brother Allen was able to encourage him, and I talked to Brother King about it later, and he said, yeah, I was pretty close to doing that. But Brother Owen, he kept on him, and he said, let's go to Bible college together. And they went. And Brother King's life turned around. So in that one case, the godly youth was able to pull up the carnal new Christian. But so often, it can be the opposite way around. So it has to be done with care. It needs to be in a supervised setting. And that can be very hard because a lot can be said and done even right under the noses of a parent. You know, I think I've mentioned before how once Emily took the girls to the park, and they were playing a game of tag, and another girl that was there, she asked if she could play, so they started playing tag with her. She started talking about very bad things and raised some questions, which fortunately went straight over top of our kid's head. They didn't catch it. But You know, right under our nose, this child said some things that they should not have. But I mean, it was outside of earshot. So we started making a beeline to what's going on over there? What's being said? So we gotta be discreet. We gotta be prudent as parents. It doesn't take long for them to say something. Parent has to be on guard at all times. That includes things like social media. That includes things like email, monitoring email, monitoring if a child has any sort of social media, and that's gotta be very careful about that. That needs to be monitored. Okay, so going back to our text there, Proverbs chapter 16. So, verse 29. A violent man enticeth his neighbor. And of course, neighbor doesn't mean just the guy next door, right? Means anyone we come in contact with, and leadeth him in the way that is not good. Leadeth him in the way that is not good. One extra thing I just should mention is, you can tell a lot about your child by about the people that they are attracted to. I've seen many times where one youth from one church maybe comes to a church function, and boom, that youth is socializing with someone else they've never met before. And you know enough about both of the youth to say, okay, both of these youth are ungodly, they're carnal. Maybe they're not even saved. And you're amazed at how quickly, just like magnets, they're attracted to each other. And if we see that our child is drawn to that kind of a person, we got to be very careful. We need to do some work and some homework and some reconstructive work to ensure that that they're not enamored with the world. Verse 30, he shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Again, this is speaking about the violent man. So in his waking time and even when he's taking a rest, he shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. He's thinking. The imaginations of his heart are constantly going. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. He speaks a word. He tells someone. He talks to someone. He orchestrates it. He brings evil to pass. And he speaks a word. Doesn't even have to be. He doesn't even have to raise an arm. He doesn't have to raise a gun or a weapon of any sort. He can just speak the word, and it can be done. So, very careful. We have to be very careful about that. The person who would lead us into sin. I mean, we think of Psalms chapter 1, that familiar passage. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Think about this verse. We've talked about this before many times, the sequence of turning away from God, turning towards sin, just like in the way that Lot did. He started pitching his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah. So first of all, the walking in the counsel of the ungodly, you're kind of listening, you're starting to do a few of their things, standing in the way of sinners, you're amongst them, sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now you've become complacent, you've become comfortable with it. That's when a person has been enticed. But what's the antidote? The law of the Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So as believers, we've got to meditate in God's word. We've got to get into it, dig into it. And for those of us that are parents, we need to ensure that our children are digging into it. When we have personal devotions, I am constantly, usually every day, finding out what, particularly our oldest, children are getting from God's word. We're making them dig so that they get this pattern, this habit at a young age, and they continue on and on and on into their adulthood. Also with family devotions, that's personal devotions. With family devotions, we read the passage, we expound on it, and then we have a time of questions. And they've got to know the answers. And yes, we do bribe them. There's a candy awaiting if they do well. No candy if they don't. So hopefully we're trying to get trying to build that pattern of digging into God's word, meditating on God's word, so that when the violent person, the ungodly person, tries to entice them, they say, no, I'm remembering a verse now that speaks just about what this guy or this woman is trying to get me to do. And no, I will not take a step further in that direction. Okay, well, let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we think of the newsletter we read of the Alices. We thank you for that lady, 87-year-old, that trusted you as her Savior, that she let go of her fear, let go of her pride, and learned about a God who loves her. We thank you that she repented and put her trust in you. Lord, we pray that you'd bless that work in Rochester. We pray that they would see many souls saved. Lord, we pray that you'd help us as we consider these two verses in Proverbs. Lord, that we would not be enticed by the wicked person, by the ungodly person, by the carnal person. Maybe it be an unsaved person or a carnal Christian. But Lord, that we would be so guarded in our relationships that we show the love of Christ to people, but we don't allow them to drag us to their level. Help those of us who are parents, Lord, to be careful with our own children and what we allow them to do and what we allow them not to do, or that we are careful to place the proper restrictions on them, to follow up with them, Lord, to see if they're getting what they're getting from your word. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we go into our morning worship service, that you would speak to our hearts. We ask that you give safety to anyone that are still traveling. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.